ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 75 of the report. Yeah, man. It's been about a week. Been about a week since the last time I talked to you guys. And the last time we got together, I had Clove and Shirley of the Chonilla.com podcast on here with me. We had a really good time talking about podcasts and talking about the Duggars, talking about how they got together, a whole host of things that we kind of got into. And it's always a good time with Clove and Shirley, and I definitely do appreciate them coming on and blessing the Span Report with their presence. And we had a really good time, and I hope you guys had a really good time listening to that show. But today, we got a whole lot. We got a whole lot to talk about, man. I've actually been kind of toying with the idea of coming of actually doing
yo.
Hold on a second. I got too many things open up right quick. Hold on. Let me make sure I got some stuff closed up. Live podcasting, people. Live podcasting. We kind of got into. Okay. Got it fixed. Had to close that. Yeah, man. But, it's so many things. There's so many things to talk about, man. You got the Rachel Dolezal thing to talk about, man. McKinney, Texas. Came up, man. I got my ass hat of the week with the McKinney, Texas shit. It's all that all ties in together. The NBA Finals. I kind of want to talk about the NBA Finals, man. Been a real epic performance going on there, so I definitely want to talk about that. So, yeah, we got some things to talk about, man. A whole lot of things to talk about. Before we get into everything as far as the Span Report is concerned this week, let me let you guys know how you can get in touch with me here at the podcast and let your voice be heard. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I will play those messages on the show and, of course, respond on the show. You can also email me at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. I will reply to those emails and, of course, do that all on the show here as well. You can also chop it up with your boy on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr. Span. Mr. _ Span is the name. Hit me up with the ass head of the week submission. Send in any silly, stupid shit that you think needs to be brought to that you think really needs the attention of the world, man. Send me that shit. Send me ass hat of the week. Send those submissions to asshat@thespanreport.com, man. If you want to leave me a review, preferably 5 stars. Leave a review on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Let the people know what it is you think about the show. Good, bad, or indifferent. Preferably it's a 5-star review. I'll read those reviews on the show. Also, I'm going to be reading the YouTube comments as long as they are relevant to what it is that we're talking about on the show. If you're having a conversation amongst yourselves on the videos, that's fine. But if there's a comment that you want me to address here on the show, make sure that it's relevant to what it is that we're talking about here, and I will read the YouTube comments on the show as well. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to thespanreport.com. All of the Span Report podcast episodes are available there, but I've tried to branch the Span Report out so much further than just this podcast. I'm actually looking for contributors to thespanreport.com. Like, so if I want some writers, pretty much. I want writers for the podcast website or for the Span Report website. If you're interested in writing about technology, if you're interested in writing about culture, if you're interested in writing about sports, if you're somebody from Detroit and you want to write about some of the shit that's going on in Detroit, thespanreport.com can be your place to get started. So I don't have the email set up yet on here on my lower third, but the email to get in touch with me as far as writing for thespanreport.com is Mr. at thespanreport.com. Send me those emails if you're serious about wanting to write for the website, and I will get back with you on that form for that. But yeah, I'm definitely trying to branch this entity outside of just the podcast. So if you definitely want to get in on that, hit me up at mr@thespanreport.com. Looking for contributors to the Span Report. Definitely real talk, and get at me there. But yeah, man, it's a whole lot of shit. A whole lot of shit going on, man. And it was like I was saying before I had to, you know, fix up the syncing and all that other stuff that was going on in the background. I was talking about the fact that I was toying with the idea of maybe doing two shows a week, kind of thinking about doing two shows a week, because there's so many things that kind of happen that I want to speak to, and then I have to leave things out because it's so much, you know what I mean? I have to leave things out on certain shows, so I can't necessarily cover everything I really want to, and it's some stuff that got booted off as far as the docket is concerned, as far as this show. So I'm definitely thinking about doing the show twice a week. We'll see how that works out. We'll see how that works out. I got some scheduling things and some personal obligations that I have to fulfill before I can definitely do that. But that's one of the ideas that I got going on in my head. And with thespanreport.com being more than just a portal for you to go listen to the web to the podcast, yeah, that's definitely something that I want to grow out as far as the Span Report is concerned, being a bit more than just a podcast. So, yeah, man. But starting to show off this week, man, I want to talk about these NBA finals, right? Basketball fan. As you can see, I'm a Bulls fan for life, man. I don't give a damn. My boys got booted out by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Well, they quit. I'm honest enough to admit that my boys didn't necessarily play nearly as well as they should have, considering the team that they were going up against. But they're playing up against a team that's in the NBA Finals right now, right? And that team is tied with the Golden State Warriors at 2-2 in the NBA Finals. And we've seen a really, really, really phenomenal performance from LeBron James. LeBron James has been putting in an all-time performance in these finals. And the question comes up as to whether or not this is the greatest NBA Finals performance. And it's definitely right up there, right? It's definitely right up there. The man is averaging over 40 points. He's damn near averaging a triple-double on top of damn near 40 points a game. So there's that there. Nobody's really done that to this extent, the way that this man has pretty much led his team to two wins. And it kind of goes into the whole thing, too, that usually when you watch a team and, you know, you talk about how many games the team may win, and you say, well, I give this team X amount of wins just because they got such and such. And LeBron James is good for those two games. Basically, LeBron James has been good for those two games. He has been putting in a Herculean effort, and it showed. But I don't think the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to win this series, only because of the longer this series goes and the shorter that the Cleveland Cavaliers rotation gets, the more wear and tear they're going to endure. And it's just basically going to wear them down. It's going to wear them down because their rotations have become so short, and they're locking so many minutes. I mean, even the last game, with game four, we saw that LeBron was suffering from cramps, and Matthew Dellavedova was also suffering from cramps and shit like that. So it's definitely already taking a toll outside of Kyrie Irving being out, outside of Kevin Love being out. They don't really have that deep a team. And so the deeper this series goes, the more games they have to play, the more minutes that LeBron has to log, and Dellavedova, who's been a bit of a boost for them, the more that these minutes these guys have to log, the more that they tend to wear down because they aren't as deep as the Golden State Warriors have been, right? So you got that, right? A really good series. I didn't watch any basketball for a good 2 weeks almost after my Bulls were out of it, but I've definitely been watching these finals games, man. They've been really, really, really good games. LeBron James has been putting in a damn good performance, right? And so we talk about LeBron James and his ability to get them two wins. One of those two wins came in Golden State. He had a damn good game in Golden State, right? And for whatever reason, a Golden State Warriors fan decided to make an ass out of herself, right? Decided to make an ass of herself, and she went ahead and she did something like this here.
LeBron, that's the Watch your mouth, woman. Hey, if I remember your Facebook stuff, you better hold my phone.
All right. That was a Golden State Warriors fan calling LeBron James a pussy-ass bitch. Right? A 6'8", 260-pound man, this woman felt comfortable enough to call a pussy-ass bitch. Right? And it was a little white lady. You know, it's funny in a sense of the security that she had in saying that. Right? And it kind of goes into the level of disrespect that a lot of NBA players get, you know, when it comes to fans. I remember a few years ago in Miami when Joakim Noah, you know, he got fined for, I think he got into it with a fan. She was like yelling in his ears. She was giving him the finger and all sorts of shit. You know, fans tend to go to these games and I think they get the idea that because they spent X amount of dollars for a ticket that they can say and do whatever the fuck they want to these people and act as if these guys in a normal setting wouldn't beat the fuck out of them had they said that anywhere else, right? There's a whole hell of a lot of how can we say this, security and privilege involved in that, right? Security and privilege involved in that. Do you think that woman would have said that in any other setting outside of the fact that she was at a game where she knew that this man had a hell of a lot to lose had he really addressed her in a way that he probably really wanted to, right? You know, nobody's just rolling up on LeBron James saying you a pussy ass bitch and in a normal setting and probably won't get any physicality brought their way, right? Somebody's gonna whoop that ass. It might not necessarily be LeBron James. It may be a bodyguard. It may be somebody in his inner circle or whatever. But it's gonna be somebody who's gonna attack that and say, "I'm gonna show you what a pussy ass bitch is," right? So there's that level of privilege for that woman that I thought was interesting. And then too, when the security guard checked her, she acted as if she didn't hear what the fuck the security guard was saying. Like, really? You know goddamn well the dude. You knew goddamn well that you heard what the hell it was that he was saying. And it goes to the whole thing of maybe these people should, you know, I want to say have their tickets revoked from them and be banned from the games. Because, you know, that's not a part of fandom, right? You know, that if this pussy-ass bitch just beat your team, right? This pussy-ass bitch just, like, came into your building and took a game virtually by himself. So, yeah, man, fandom can be a bit crazy. But I thought that it was real odd, the dynamics there with that woman calling this grown-ass man a pussy-ass bitch, knowing that in any other setting, it wouldn't be as comfortable for her to do that, right? So there's that. And then another thing too happened with these finals, man. Something that I thought was a bit interesting, right? LeBron James started game four, was getting ready for the game, adjusting his clothes, tucking his jersey in, ABC cameras right there, and a bit of a dick slip happen. Right? So ABC inadvertently caught a shot of LeBron James's dick on live TV, and I kind of expect a lot of women to share this vine, right? Kind of expect that, you know, women would, to some degree, I would think a woman would maybe want to check out to see what LeBron James is packing. You know, that may be something that they may be into, you know, who knows, right? But I found it odd how many dudes were, like, passing around talking about how little LeBron James's dick was, right? A bunch of dudes walking around talking about, hey, man, they were sharing this. This is happening on my timeline. A bunch of dudes like, yo, look how little this nigga's dick is. And I'm thinking to myself, one, how many times did you watch it? Two, why are you passing this around? And three, it kind of comes across as you're wondering where you stack up, right? For a lot of dudes, it's like, where do I stack up? If 6'8 LeBron if I can say that I got a bigger dick than LeBron James, I might be winning. And you're not winning, man. LeBron James is LeBron James has a life that that kind of encompasses a whole hell of a lot more as opposed to how big his dick may or may not be. But the fact that you're on Twitter and the fact that you're on Instagram and the fact that you're on Facebook passing around videos of LeBron James's dick to try to trumpet how big your shit may be or may not be is a bit suspect. I'm just saying, it's a lot of meat peeping ass niggas around here, man. Shout out to y'all. But we see what you're doing. We see what you're doing. You're trying to see where you measure up, and you look lame as hell doing so, bro. Just and it's funny, man. I saw a tweet. Somebody said LeBron James's dick might have been the difference between games 5 and 6. Might be the difference in these finals, man. He showed his dick and they lost. So we gonna see, man. But I again, man, I think the Golden State Warriors are gonna pull this one out. Especially the longer the series goes, I kind of think that attrition is really going to catch up to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And yeah, man, there's that. And then we talk about greatest ever, right? Because this conversation has had a lot when it comes to basketball, LeBron James and his ascension as the best player in the world. And the last player that was universally recognized as the best player in the world would probably be Michael Jordan. And a lot of folks think that if the Cleveland Cavaliers pull this off, if they win this championship, that LeBron James is now equal to Michael Jordan. I'm a Bulls fan, so I'm biased, but I will say this. If the Cavaliers are able to pull this out, LeBron James has definitely etched himself into what we could call the Mount Rushmore of NBA players, right? He's definitely in that top five. If he's able to pull this off, I definitely believe that LeBron James is in that top five. Is he the GOAT? I don't know yet. Only because it's so much, you know, his career isn't over. He's still got work to do. You know, he's still got work to do. When you look at some of the numbers that the other players, like say for instance Michael Jordan, if you look at the amount of championships, if you look at the amount of scoring championships, if you look at the Defensive Player of the Year's Defensive Player of the Year awards won, if you look at the Finals MVPs won, if you look at the Finals records between the two, LeBron's got his work cut out for him, you know. And you know, that's just my opinion. You know, for some others, it may be something different. You know, they may judge it on a different scale than what I would judge it on. But I believe that LeBron James definitely has the potential to, by the time he retires, be the best player to ever have played this game, right? He could definitely go down as the greatest player to ever play the game. Is he there yet? Not yet. Not for me. Not for me. But he definitely has the potential to go down as one of the greatest players to ever play this game. He's already up there to me. As far as one of the greatest players to ever play, LeBron's up there. But as far as the best player to ever play this game, not yet. Not yet. He's still got some work to do. He's still got some work to do. Not to say that he can't do it, but he certainly has some work to do, right? But, yeah, man, I think the Golden State Warriors are going to win this finals, though. It's just me. I think the Golden State Warriors are going to win the finals, right? And so that's been going on. Golden State, the finals have been going on, and I've been having a quandary as to what the fuck am I going to watch come Sunday, because Game 5 of the NBA Finals comes on, and then season finale of Game of Thrones comes on. So I'm like, fuck, right? I mean, I know I could watch Game of Thrones the day after, but I kind of don't want to. I want to watch that shit when it comes on, right? But, yeah, man, yeah, the finals have been really good. LeBron James's dick has slipped, and somebody called LeBron a pussy-ass bitch. Really interesting NBA finals as of late. But I want to switch gears here. I kind of want to switch gears here because there's some other things going on, right? And so the other thing I wanted to talk about was this McKinney, Texas pool party, right? And this happened. This shit kind of all kicked off right after I did the show with Clove and Shirley of Chonilla, right? Like, we had did the podcast. I wasn't privy to what this story was. I wasn't privy to any of the information coming out. And so that's another reason why I kind of want to start doing two shows a week, right? So I'm not like a week late when it comes to when I talk about things and what I really think about them, right? And one of the things that I found interesting, that I always find interesting in stories like this when it comes to police interactions with black folks, is the expectations of how black people are supposed to react when it comes to police. And we are held to a very high standard when it comes to how we interact with the police, right? Especially when it concerns the media, when it concerns conservative media, when it concerns just people's sense of the superiority of the authority of the police when it comes to people of color, I guess, right? And one of the things I noticed, man, like when it comes to the police, and for those who are suffering from white denial syndrome, because there are a lot of you, and sometimes you can be suffering from white denial syndrome in blackface. Let's just get that shit straight. But when it comes to white denial syndrome and some of the attitudes about police and how we should interact with them, like I always notice how the lionization of the police is always made, that effort to lionize them, that effort to kind of put them above those in society whom they are supposed to be protecting and serving, right? And so, like, there you get these memes that come out. You know, I saw a meme with a police badge on it that said, you know, every person who puts on this badge and leaves out the door doesn't know if they're coming back home. Pass this around if you want to support the police. And I'm thinking to myself, like, dude, anytime anybody walks out of the front door of their home, there's no guarantee that they're coming back. Police are not. When I walk out of my front door every day, there's no guarantee that I'm coming back home. Right? There's no guarantee. I work a pretty dangerous job. I work with a pretty volatile product in natural gas. You know, a fuck up in my job can result in a guy losing his life or somebody losing their home or some shit like that. That happens. You know, explosions with gas happen all the time. Fortunately, let's knock on some wood, it doesn't happen when I'm at work. And it doesn't happen as a result of some of the work that I do. But be that as it may, it doesn't even have to be a dangerous job. Somebody walks outside of their door, they can get carjacked. Somebody walks out of their door, they can get in a car accident. Somebody walks outside of their door, somebody decides to become, make them a random victim of violence. It happens all the time. So the fact that this is a police, you know, these are police, doesn't necessarily mean that their life is more valuable than mine. When I walk out of that door, there's no guarantee that I'm coming back home. The same as that police officer. Now, that's not to say that his job isn't dangerous, but that doesn't mean that because his job is dangerous that he has the he has carte blanche on how to treat folks, right? And so you see this, I'm pretty sure at this point you've all seen the video of this officer barrel rolling into the scene, corralling black folks. He took this one sister down, 14 years old, in a bikini, and everybody was making making such a big fuss about this girl being in a bikini. Look, she was at a fucking pool party. She was going swimming. It was a bathing suit. Calm the fuck down, right? But, you know, so many people, especially, and I hate to say it, man, but some white folks, man, just like, yo, if you just did what the police said to do, then you wouldn't be in this situation. If you tell that to Tamir Rice. Tamir Rice didn't even have the opportunity to comply with the police commands. They shot him within 2 seconds out of getting out of the fucking car. A lot of times it isn't about whether or not we comply with the police that could result in us being shot down or killed or whatever, right? And so it was another thing that I found was ironic was he was telling this young girl to get on the ground when she was already fucking sitting down. She was already on the ground before he decided he wanted to take her by the neck and push her down on her face and on her stomach and then sit on her. And then you had folks who were talking about, well, it wasn't race. You know, it's not a racial issue. Those black kids didn't belong there. They didn't live there. They didn't belong. How would you know? There were black people who lived in that community. How would you know that those kids didn't belong there? And why was those police officers only targeting black people? There were no white kids being sat down and made to or being detained. It was a white kid who filmed that video. A white kid. What's his name? Hold on. Let me make sure I get this kid's name out. I want to shout him out. Brandon Brooks, 15 years old white kid, shot that video. And they let that kid walk around as if nothing was going on. You had white dudes like parents. It was a guy in some jorts, some jean shorts and shit, walking around acting as damn near like a deputy. No, and nobody knows who the fuck he was. He was just there. Right? Just there. So you had all of this shit going on, man. all of this shit going on, and the impetus is put on the kids, right? I hear Megyn Kelly for whatever reason was talking about, well, that girl wasn't an angel either. She didn't have to be a fucking angel. She didn't have to be an angel. And I don't necessarily get where, like, talking back, I get it when you're talking with your parents and shit, like, you know, you're walking away and shit, and like, man, get on my nerves or whatever the fuck, right? Like, your parents told you to do something when you was a kid, and you're like, man, these motherfuckers get on my nerve. You mumbling this shit to yourself or whatnot, and that probably resulted, for a lot of people, resulted in you getting your ass whooped. That was something you got done at home, right? That didn't result in a police officer taking you down and putting you on the fucking grass, sitting on you, violating your civil rights and detaining you for talking back. That's not a crime. Talking back isn't a crime, right? So you had that going on, man. And again, I want to talk about these expectations about how we are to interact with the police, right? And I'll tell you this. I am cognizant. I am very much cognizant of how I interact with the police, only because of my prior experiences as an adult and only because of how I've seen the police treat us, right? I'm cognizant of that. Like, if I get pulled over by the police now, my hands are already out of the fucking window. Already out of the window if I get pulled over by the cops, right? I don't want this dude to know I ain't no threat at all. But at the same time, how big of a threat is a 14-year-old girl wearing a bikini at a pool party? What threat is she presenting in that particular moment in time? Right? And, you know, shout out to Black Twitter for getting a few people axed out, man. A few people, I forget the name of the woman. I didn't even bother to write her name down. The woman who's actually started the entire thing, man, when they talked about the kids being from Section 8 homes, you need to get the hell away from here. That woman ended up, I think she's on administrative leave, or she's lost her job at this particular point in time. Good. Good. I think she worked for a contractor for a Bank of America, not someone who's directly employed by Bank of America, but somebody who does business with them, and they've already put her on, like, administrative leave. Yeah. You know, those type of attitudes aren't needed. And that was the entire impetus of that entire situation. And she needs to be held accountable for that. No, she didn't. She definitely didn't go to jail. And she wasn't manhandled by the police. But that's what happened. And that's how that entire thing got started. Because some white folks got up in their ass about the fact that they saw too many black kids going to a pool. Right? And we could talk about the history of how white folks don't necessarily like black folks being in their pools, and how black folks, we joke a lot about how black folks aren't able to swim. A lot of folks don't know how to swim. And then we don't talk about how black folks were prevented from being in pools, public, municipal pools that they were paying taxes on to maintain. You know, there's a long history with, I don't know what it is about fucking swimming pools and white folks and black folks, but like, white folks really are protective about their goddamn pools. When it comes to black folks, as if black folks are going to rub off on them in the chlorine. I don't get it. I definitely don't get it. But it's something that definitely needs to be addressed, right? And so, in speaking about the McKinney, Texas shit and about folks getting fired, man, my ass hat of the week kind of results from one of these folks with the McKinney, Texas shit. Hold on just a second.
Yo! We got some hats now, motherfuckers.
Yeah, man. And that ass hat of the week is Karen Fitzgibbons, right? Karen Fitzgibbons was I don't know what grade of teacher she was, but she lived in the San Antonio area in Texas, and she went to Facebook talking about the McKinney, Texas situation, and she went to Facebook and she said, "This makes me angry. This officer should not have had to resign. I'm going to just go ahead and say it. The blacks are the ones causing the problems and this racial tension. I guess that's what happens when you flunk out of school and have no education. I'm sure their parents are just as guilty for not knowing what their kids are doing, or knew it and didn't care. I'm almost to the point of wanting them all segregated on one side of town so they can hurt each other and leave the innocent people alone. Maybe the 50s and 60s were really onto something. Now let the bashing of my true and honest opinion begin. Go. Hashtag I'm not racist. Hashtag I'm sick of them causing trouble. Hashtag it was a gated community. Well, Karen, you know what's funny is that, like, when white people say racist shit, they want to say that they aren't racist. When people do racist shit, the last thing in the world they want to be considered as is as racist. It's like, it's funny. You want to do racist shit, but don't want to be acknowledged as the racist that you are. Right? And what does it being a gated fucking community have to do with that? Have to do with anything? Especially if those kids are from the fucking gated community. The kids are from there. Right? I'm sick of them causing trouble. Black kids going to a swimming pool for a party is them causing trouble. White people telling them that they need to go back home to their Section 8 housing because they don't belong there, because you don't believe that black folks can actually have the wherewithal to obtain the amount of wealth to stay where it is that you stay, and it's the black folks' problem. The fuck out of here, man. it's funny. It's funny to me how white denial syndrome is so deep. It's so deep. Oh, so deep. Right? Because she doesn't necessarily understand that, hey, these folks are human just like me. She doesn't see them as people. She wants to separate an entire race of people. Like, hey, they're causing trouble and we're the innocent ones. Get the fuck out of here. We're the innocent ones. The innocent people are being troubled by these negligent Negroes. Seriously. So, yeah, man. Karen Fitzgibbons is our ass hat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
Yeah, man. Now, next thing I want to talk about. Next thing I wanted to get into was the curious case of Rachel Dolezal, right? Rachel Dolezal is currently the chapter president of the NAACP chapter in Spokane, Washington. And it has come to the world's attention that Rachel Dolezal has been parading herself around as a black person, and she's not black. Right? And, you know, when I first heard about this, I was a little amused, right? I was a little amused, and I was a little confused, right? I was amused and confused all at the same time. Like, man, like, you wait, huh? Like, wait, so you're not black, but folks have been thinking you black, and the truth comes out about you not being black, and you are defiant in the fact that you want to continue to say that you are black. It's so many layers in this onion. It's so many layers on this onion, right? So, I'm listening to, like, various stories, man. I'm like, it's so many different things coming in on this woman about, you know, who her parents are, whether or not her son was actually her brother. So many different things, right? So, yeah, before I even continue to go on, man, let's just check this out. Rachel Dolezal acknowledging some of the questions that folks have about her ethnicity and some of the things that she's told the community.
You don't necessarily have a relationship with them where you view them as mom and dad.
No. No, I call them Larry and Ruthann.
So what would you say to those who are questioning your ethnicity?
Those who are questioning or those who are just reading the article? I mean, you know, so the article, I feel like the article is what's questioning. And really it's Larry and Ruthann who are questioning. And so what I say to them is, you know, I don't give two what you guys think, you know? Like, you're so far done and out of my life.
The president of the NAACP, who we think is a black woman who says she's the victim of hate crimes, might not be black. That seems like a misrepresentation.
I can understand that. I mean, like I said, it's more important for me to clarify that with the Black community and with my executive board than it really is to explain it to a community that I quite frankly don't think, you know, really understands the definitions of race and ethnicity.
Do you think anyone within the Spokane NAACP is unclear about your identity?
I'm not sure.
Would you identify yourself as an African American?
I actually don't like the term African American. I prefer Black. And I would say that if, you know, if I was asked, I would definitely say that yes, I do consider myself to be Black.
If they're saying you're not Black, what would you say in response?
They're, whatever they say really, I wish could say doesn't affect me at all. Unfortunately, people might listen to them or give them a platform that they don't deserve. But I don't have anything to say to them.
All right. Now, some real interesting things about that, right? And like I said before, I was a bit amused and I was a bit confused in the beginning when I first heard about this story. But then so many different details have come out about this whole situation. Excuse me. I started to wonder about not only her mental capacity, but how deep, you know, to a certain. I will stop shaking my foot, TT. Thank you. Yeah, but one of the things I was thinking about was the fact that it's really so much. How can I put this? Well, it's like this. It's like this for me, right? Here's a woman who at any point in time, even though she's in pretty much embedded herself within the Black community, becoming the president of the NAACP chapter in Spokane, Washington. At any point in time, if the shit got too real for her, she could have shed that Blackness and went on back to being another white person in America and enjoying the privileges that came with being another white person in America, right? Black women don't necessarily get that advantage, right? Black women aren't able to just say, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna be a white woman today, right? And to a certain degree, like, we could talk about passing and things like that, but if a white person is found out to be passing as Black, it's not so much the social stigma that can come from that, because they can always kind of blend back in with white society. With Black people, if they try to pass off as white, they are shunned. They are shunned from the white community, right? And to a certain degree, Black folks are resentful of them because it's like, well, you didn't think we were good enough for you, right? So there's always that dynamic of, she was playing a part that she could always depart from, that she didn't necessarily have to ingratiate herself in such a way to where, you know, folks were considering her a Black person. And on top of that, too, I'm thinking about, you know, the Black people who were in the community who could have done the exact same things that she did in that space, right? And not only that, the fact that she thought that she had to be Black in order to do these things, in order to be a part of the NAACP, in order to be a professor in Africana Studies at Eastern Washington University, the fact that she thought that she had to be Black in order to do these things is troublesome. Because let's keep it real. White folks tend to listen to other white folks a whole hell of a lot more intently than they do us, by and large. It's an unfortunate reality, but that's what it is. It's an unfortunate reality that they tend to listen to other white folks a bit more than they would listen to a Black person saying it, right? So she could have been a very good ally to the African-American Black community in Spokane, Washington, in that area. She could have been a very big ally, right? Then you think about the fact that, you know, one of the things that kind of made this, that kind of blew this up, not only was the fact that her parents flat out just came out and said, hey, she really white, y'all. We her parents, right? It wasn't just that, but the fact that there was the stories about all of these terroristic threats that were made to her, these threats on her life, death threats and sorts, a hate crime, so to speak, being sent to her in the mail. And it comes out that the mail, the U.S. Postal Service hadn't even processed these items. That anybody who basically it took somebody to have a key in order to get these into her P.O. box. Right. And so it calls into question all of these things about these hate crimes that are supposedly being perpetrated against you. And not only that, it's another instance of you bringing more attention to yourself. You bringing more attention to yourself. Right. It was funny, man, like kind of looking over this woman's like her Twitter account. She, you know, she has I think her Twitter account is called like Renaissance Femme or some shit like that. Like she's talking about the Harlem Renaissance, and then she's like I'm sorry, real Afrocentric in her presentation. You know, she's real heavy on the lingo. Like she's got the hair, she's got the makeup to make herself look black and everything else. But at the end of the day, that was a white woman when she went home. That was a white woman, right? And a lot of folks have been trying to make the connection as far as like the Caitlyn Jenner thing, right? You know, they talk about her being transracial, and they talk about Caitlyn Jenner. Everybody was giving Caitlyn Jenner kudos for making the transition from being a man to a woman, right? I don't know if transracial is really a thing. This is some new shit. Like, this is some real new shit. This is the first time I've ever heard of transracial, right? I don't know how real it is. But at the same time, again, to try to compare the two, I think, is a bit off, right? Because if with Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner, she makes that transition. That's a permanent thing. She can't go back. She can't go back. It's not going to happen. You don't just grow a dick all of a sudden. It's kind of hard reconstructing the pole, so to speak. That's a permanent thing. And this is something that Caitlyn Jenner has expressed has been going on with him for as long as he can remember. Family members talking about this has been going on for as long as they can remember with him, right? They saw instances of this with that man as a child, or with that woman now as a child. So these are things that have been manifested for a long time. This woman's family is talking about they know she's only been doing this for the last 10, 15 years at most. Right. She's been ingratiating herself within the black community and perpetuating herself as a black person within the black community for the past 10, 15 years. That her brother or her adopted brother in the Dolezal family was saying that she told him 6 years ago not to blow her cover. Right. Not to blow her cover. That her adopted brother was who she was walking around with telling folks that was her son. And that's what that initial interview was talking about. It was like, well, have you misrepresented your relationship with your son or your brother? Because that's who he is. He's your adopted brother whom you now tell folks is your son. This man, this black man that she was taking pictures with, she's walking around telling folks, hey, that's my dad. She was presenting this dude as her biological father. It wasn't until she got caught up in her bullshit that folks folks really knew. Right? She's been presenting herself as something that she isn't. She's been lying to a lot of people. That's what's pissing a lot of folks off. She's been lying to a lot of folks. Right? So, this transracial shit, like I said, I don't know if it's really, I don't know if it's real. I don't want to just flat out dismiss. But at the same time, it's like, yo, man, like, it's kind of convenient for you. It's real convenient for you. How... shit, can I say I'm a white man now and get like 100 extra points on my credit score? Like, is that how this shit works? Is that possible for me? You know, I'm not, you know, exactly like the lightest motherfucker. I'm a little beige and shit, but nah, you know, can that work for me? Can I just say, hey, you know what? I identify as a white man now. Yeah, so y'all gonna hook me up with this house? With like 1% interest on this motherfucker? Can that happen? You know? Nah, no, everybody can't do that. Everybody can't do that. And for me, honestly, I kind of find it a little disingenuous. I find it a little disingenuous. And then when they asked her whether or not she would identify as African American, she said, no, I prefer black. Well, they kind of, well, for one, we know you wouldn't identify as African American because you don't necessarily have a connection with Africa. You definitely want to be known as an American. But you prefer black because What? Right? You just prefer black. I wish it was down to just preference for a lot of us. I really do wish it was down to preference for a lot of us. I mean, shit. You know what? Actually, no the fuck I don't. You are what you are to a certain degree. To a certain degree. But, yeah, man, it's a fascinating thing, man. It's fascinating in the sense of the amount of layers in which this woman has, like, kind of woven this web of deception to tell a whole community of folks, got a whole community of folks thinking she's one thing and she isn't when she's another. And, yeah, man, like, and I was having a discussion with my woman here today, man. We was talking about, you know, who was kind of talking about the impact that she's had on the community and whether or not anything should, you know, what should happen to her after this, right? And I don't think anything negative really should happen to her other than the mocking that she's getting right now, right? The mocking that she's getting right now is not only funny, but at the same time, it kind of serves notice on people are going to make fun. If you're black, you can handle these jokes. Right. If you're black, you can handle these jokes. But at the same time, it's like, you know what, man? She occupied a space that another qualified black person definitely could have taken on. At least that's my attitude. She definitely occupied a space that another black person could have taken on. And it wouldn't have been it wouldn't have been a bad thing for her to be an ally in that space. Right. It wouldn't have been a bad thing at all. But the level of deception is what is pissing folks off. And I think the fact that she went about the business of maybe fabricating fraud. I mean, well, you know, just like mail fraud. She went about maybe fabricating death threats and terroristic threats towards her again in an effort to make kind of, you know, things a bit about herself. We don't know all the details about it, but I kind of got that suspicion because of the way things are playing out that she has this thing going on where, like, it's all about her, and you know, to a certain degree, it's all about her and how she feels, and you know, whether or not she deceived a lot of folks, be damned. And she said so, you know, she said so. Like, well, I consider myself black. I don't give two shits what everybody else is talking about, right? So yeah, it's about her, and everybody else that got something to say about it, to hell with y'all. But it's definitely, man, is definitely some shit where, this is new ground, man. Like, this is some real fresh shit. Like, again, hold on. This is definitely something that not a lot of us are familiar with. And it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of this story plays out. Yeah. Yeah, man. And it was another thing, too. I saw Tim Wise said something on Facebook. Shout out to Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips, who had reposted this on his Facebook page. But it was Tim Wise who was talking about how Rachel Dolezal actually didn't want him to speak at Eastern Washington University because as a white man, he couldn't speak on the conditions of black people. And it was like, that was real rich. That was real rich coming from Rachel Dolezal, considering what we know now about Rachel Dolezal. The irony is so thick there, right? Yeah, man. But that's enough of that, man. That's enough of that. We got to get into the listener feedback portion of the show. And this week is real light on the listener feedback portion. But I wanted to kind of get into the poll results from the last episode. And the last episode I did was episode 74 with Clove and Shirley of the Chonilla.com podcast, Chonillions. And we were talking about Caitlyn Jenner on that podcast. And hold on, let me pull this up real quick. Just a second. My computer's acting real slow today. I don't know why. Let me pull this up. Come on. Yeah. Okay, here we go. The poll question was, do you find it offensive to compare the LGBTQ struggle for acceptance to the civil rights movement of the 60s? And the results are in, and 67% say no, it is appropriate because it applies. And 33% of the listeners to the show say, yes, it's a grossly unequal comparison, right? So 67% of listeners of the Spanner Report podcast believe that it's appropriate to compare the struggle for LGBTQ acceptance to the civil rights movement of the 60s. 33% of y'all say it's a gross, unequal comparison. I'm in the 67%. And with everybody in that 67%, I think it's appropriate because it applies. And there's so many different parallels that we can go to explain why they apply, but I'm not going to rehash those shits here, right? And so, when it comes to LGBTQ acceptance and their fight for acceptance, I think a lot of it goes into, you know, how we wanted to be treated as equals as Black folks in America in the 60s. There's a lot of different parallels there. And let's just say I agree with the 67% that say that it's an appropriate comparison. So, yeah. But that was the poll results for the last episode. I think I'm going to come up with another poll for episode 75. The episode 75 poll will be... I don't know yet. So you're going to have to go into thespanreport.com and figure out what that poll is going to be. I'm going to post it after I get finished with this episode. I don't know what the poll is going to be, but you can go to thespanreport.com on this particular episode's page and you'll find that poll. I'll come up with a question. I don't know exactly what I want to ask y'all right at this moment at this time, but I do got an email. I got an email that I want to read. And this kind of goes into the name of this episode, right? Because this motherfucker challenged my manhood, right? And yeah, I don't necessarily take too kindly to that kind of shit, but I'm gonna read it, right? Because this is the Spare Report, and I'm gonna let your voice be heard, right? So this email comes in from Ryan, and Ryan writes in and say, "What up, though, Mr. Span? This is Ryan from the West Side. You already know what it is around here. Anyways, I wanted to talk to you about your recent show. Really, I wanted to talk to you about a few things that you said on this show, period. From homosexuality to this Bruce Jenner madness to the shit you talk about Umar Johnson, you seem to be way too comfortable with this sort of shit being okay. I wonder why you see these things. You can't see these things as a concerted effort to eradicate what it means to be a man in this society. I've noticed you got pretty hot about the child abuse issue when another brother brought it up. I noticed how you basically tried to blame brothers when it came to domestic violence. You went out of your way to throw dirt on Floyd Mayweather's name when the time came and he whipped that fraud, Manny Pacquiao. You talked about his issues with women when that didn't have anything to do with the fight. Now you seem to be okay with this dude sacrificing his nuts because he got the bright idea that he wanted to be a woman. Basically, you've been on some bullshit, bruh. Now, I see you all, you engaged and all. Congratulations on that shit, by the way. But has your woman changed you, dude? What is all this homo-trans acceptance shit you've been speaking coming from? We can see who's running your shit, and it definitely ain't you. It's disappointing to hear this kind of stuff coming from someone from the D, especially a brother with a platform that can speak to our issues and decides to turn his back on our plights, not only as men, but as Black men. You've essentially piled on with the groups that would like to throw us under the bus. Get your shit together, man." Well, Ryan, it was at this moment where this listener knew he fucked up. Check this out, man. When it comes to my platform, again, this is my platform. You didn't help me build this shit. You didn't put anything in on this. This is my shit. So when it comes to my shit, and I've said this before, I'm going to speak to whatever the fuck it is I want to talk about, right? Now, as far as my woman running shit, you say that as if, like, I'm supposed to feel some sort of way about whether or not my woman runs shit, right? Here's the thing, man. I think a lot of you motherfuckers got this kind of shit fucked up when it comes to your ideas of what manhood is and what manhood is supposed to be. Say, for instance, if my relationship is 50-50, that's cool with me. That's cool with me. I'm not threatening my manhood by my woman being able to make decisions and my woman being able to see some shit that I might not have seen for myself. I'm man enough to say, hey, babe, you probably got that right there. Right? You motherfuckers don't have women that y'all trust enough to lean on for counsel in certain situations where you don't necessarily have all the answers. That kind of shit challenges your manhood. Your masculinity is being threatened by that kind of shit. Really, my nigga? Is that what you coming here with? You got issues with Bruce Jenner deciding that he wants to be a woman, and he's had women, he's had feelings that he was a man or a woman trapped in a man's body. You got feelings about what that man does with his nuts. That's what you worried about. Remember what I was talking about with LeBron James dick slipping and all these dudes walking around talking about how little his dick is? Why the fuck are you worried about that man's genitalia, dude? What does that have to do with your ass? Right? You want to talk about Floyd Mayweather, right? Floyd Mayweather gets off on beating women. You a black man. As a black man, you supposed to defend your woman. What the fuck is Floyd Mayweather doing whooping women's asses? This is what you bringing to me. This is the shit you want to talk about as far as manhood and the black man's plight. Man, are you out of your fucking mind? Are you out of your fucking mind? Black man's plight? Domestic violence? Whether or not homosexuality is okay? I'm about people being treated as people. Period. I don't give a fuck what they doing in their bedroom. It ain't none of my business. Ain't got shit to do with me. Ain't got nothing to do with me. Damn sure ain't got nothing to do with you. It's not no fucking concerted effort. Folks want to be treated like people. The same way your ass want to be treated as a man when you walk in any circle, you want to be treated as a man and respected as a man. These folks want the same goddamn thing. Treat me as a fucking human being. Leave me the hell alone anytime else. Because what I do at home ain't got nothing to do with you. And for damn sure ain't got nothing to do with me. I don't get you niggas, man. I don't. I simply don't. Y'all fucking level of understanding of what manhood is kind of warped for me. It kind of makes you look real fucking small, dude. If this is what you think manhood is, right? When I think of what manhood is, dude, and I said I was going to do like a little examination. Now, this ain't no damn examination. This is just what I think. When I think about what manhood is, dude, my duties as a man is to protect my home, protect my family, provide for, and make sure that my family's all right. It doesn't mean subjugating my woman. It doesn't mean treating her like she's less than a person. It doesn't mean treating her like she's my fucking child. None of that shit. It's a grown-ass woman. That's my partner. It's 50-50 round this motherfucker. She makes decisions. There's a lot of times she may see some shit that I don't necessarily see. That's how it's supposed to be. If I see some shit that she doesn't necessarily see, I'm supposed to put her up on that, right? Because that's my partner. That's how we get down. A lot of y'all motherfuckers got women that y'all got around y'all. Y'all want to dictate to her. Y'all want to make sure y'all running shit. It ain't about whether or not y'all running shit. Especially if she feel like after a while she gonna get tired of that shit and don't want to fucking be around no more. Now, I know for a lot of folks, man, that's cool. That's how they roll. That's how they get down. And that's fine for them. For me, that ain't how I get down. That ain't how I roll. So when you talk about my woman, dude, yeah, I'm protective of that shit. And as a man, I'm going to be real protective of that. You ain't going to talk crazy about her. You for damn sure ain't going to question my manhood about it. That's for damn sure. Right? So, yeah, man, I think a lot of you dudes got like some real warped views on what it is to be a man. My manhood is taking care of home. My manhood is being able to provide for home. My manhood is being able to protect my home. Anybody that's up under my protection is all right. Now, the fucked up thing about it is when my woman goes outside that door, the fucked up thing about it is when my woman goes outside of that door, a lot of you motherfuckers don't necessarily respect her as a person because she ain't got a man with her at that particular moment in time, right? You respect another man being right there with her, right? But if she's out there by herself, then she's praying for you, right? Nah, not exactly. Because I believe in empowering my woman, right? I'm not threatened by the fact that my woman can make decisions and possibly defend herself, right? Defend herself. Those sorts of things. Y'all want to keep y'all women docile and in the house and all this other shit, man? Nah, man. It's funny too, man. I said this shit a couple weeks ago or even a week ago. Like, when you think about, how loot, like, for a lot of dudes, I've been seeing this shit a lot, man. I've even talked to some of my best friends about some of this shit, and it irks me to the fucking core. When you think about some of the shit that we used to do as men back in the day, right? Like, it was cool for, like, dudes to have separate families and shit all across town, right? Dude to have a family 3 miles away from where his wife is at. He's got a side chick and he's got kids over there 3 miles away. He's got his wife and his family over there. They don't even fucking know each other. And that was all right. That's a fucking character flaw. Dude ain't shit. That ain't nothing to be fucking trumpeted. That ain't nothing that we should be proud of. That my dad had kids outside of the marriage. That ain't nothing we should be talking about is cool. We talk about whether or not grandma stayed with granddad or dad stayed with mom and all this other stuff when it came to him having outside kids and all these other things. A lot of times your mama didn't go nowhere because she couldn't. Your grandma didn't go nowhere because she couldn't. She didn't necessarily like that shit. She didn't have any fucking agency. She couldn't do anything about it. You threatened by your woman being able to do some shit about it is what kind of facilitates this kind of attitude. I can't get away with the same bullshit my daddy used to do. I can't get away with the same bullshit that my granddaddy used to do. They threatening what it means to be a man. Nah, nigga, you was never a fucking man to begin with. I believe a man has principles. I believe a man stands on his word. If he ain't got his word, he ain't got shit. I believe if a man can't necessarily stay on his word as far as that commitment is concerned, he definitely ain't shit. Right? So, miss me with this bullshit about you being upset that I'm talking about brothers and child support, and that, like, that child support shit didn't have anything to fucking do with that story. Didn't have a goddamn thing to do with that story. That's why I was upset with that dude for bringing up child support when we was talking about a guy and his 7 kids dying over carbon monoxide. Had child support didn't have a goddamn thing to do with that story. Right? Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner has absolutely nothing to do with you. You don't give a fuck about Caitlyn Jenner. A lot of you guys are talking about this ESPY shit, and he went into the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. A lot of you motherfuckers had absolutely no fucking clue who won the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Arthur Ashe Courage Awards. But now you got a goddamn problem. A lot of you motherfuckers are sitting here right now talking about why are we talking about gay marriage and all this other shit and it's threatening my marriage? I saw a story this week. Motherfuckers are talking about they were going to divorce because they were against gay marriage. What the fuck does that have to do with what you got going on at your house? What does it have to do with what you got going on at your house? Nothing. So, yeah, man. You got a real fucked up view on what it is to be a man. Real fucked up view on what it is to be a man, man. I don't have time for it. I don't. I really don't. I if being a man is what your idea of being a man is, then I probably wouldn't be. But fortunately for me and any dude who's smart enough to know, you don't define what manhood is for me. You don't define what manhood is for anybody else. So if that's what your idea of manhood is, dude, I don't want no parts of it. I don't want no parts of it, man. Real talk. But I would say thank you for writing in, but fuck you. All right? Fuck you. Yeah. I'm gonna get out of here. It's time for me to go. I didn't get pissed off. Here's what you can do. If you want to hit me up at the Spareport, here's how you can do that. You can hit me up at the Spareport hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I will play those voicemails and respond to those here on the show. You can also hit me up on the email. My email, of course, is feedback@thespareport.com. That's feedback@thespareport.com. I will read those emails like I did for this fuck nigga here and reply on the show as well. You can also chop it up with your boy Span on Twitter. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr_Span. So hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. Send in your ass hat of the week submissions at asshat@thespareport.com. Yeah, you can say I should probably make this motherfucker the next ass hat of the week. Yeah, man. And yeah, sending your iTunes reviews. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher Radio, send me a review. Let me know what you guys are thinking. 5-star reviews are preferable. I will read those reviews on the show. I will also read the YouTube comments that you guys leave on these episodes on YouTube. And for all of your Span Report needs, go to thespanreport.com for all the episodes, all of the news articles that are happening. And I'm still looking for writers. I'm looking for writers on thespanreport.com. So if you're interested in writing about technology, culture, sports, Detroit news, or just plain news in general, man, hit me up at mr@thespanreport.com. That's mr@thespanreport.com. Send me those emails, serious inquiries only. I'm looking for writers and contributors to thespanreport.com. So definitely hit me up there. But it's time for me to get out of here. I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.